Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
And if all of us would live and operate on the basis of true truth that we have discerned to be there before us, what a different life you'd live, and what a different life our families would live, what a different life America would live. And then we say, let's discern and look at socialism / communism, and then let's look at capitalism. How do we understand this? It's a matter of definition. It's a matter of unpacking these. Well, how do you do that?
The truth is, communism is the underlying philosophy behind socialism. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Socialism versus Capitalism, and examines the core philosophy behind socialism to show you why you mustn't allow yourself to be taken by this failed system. Stay tuned for that insightful message. Before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely resource from Dr. Young called Healing Broken America. This powerful book identifies the five areas where America has lost its way and offers practical biblical remedies to these vital issues. We'll send you Dr. Young's book as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy of Healing Broken America when you give, and discover how you can be a catalyst for the revival, renewal, and refreshment of our nation. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Socialism versus Capitalism.
I think you know that one of my big words is the word discernment. We've been talking about that. In all of our society today, so many things we thought were nailed down forever. Somehow we see the very foundation being uprooted. So we think about times in which we need to know and discern one big word, pregnant word, truth, objective, not subjective, truth. And if all of us would live and operate on the basis of true truth that we have discerned to be there before us, what a different life you'd live, and what a different life our families would live, what a different life America would live. I went back and studied for the humpteenth time. That's a new measure of numbers that we used back in the bucolic areas of my life. For the humpteenth time, I've looked at the trial of Jesus. Very interesting. And you get to Pilate, who was the governor of Judea, where Jerusalem was located. He was the ultimate authority. All the charges had been given through the Supreme Court, through Caiaphas, through Herod. And every time Pilate was the bottom line, and four times, read it in the Gospels, he had tried to push Jesus off on somebody else so they would make a decision. And finally, in the Gospel according to John, there in the 18th chapter, we see one of the most interesting dialogues in a court proceeding that I've ever seen. I went back and read it very, very carefully. And the issue was, all the religious authorities and secular authorities said, he is claiming to be a king. Now, that was diametrically opposed to Caesar, The Roman government who controlled Israel totally at this time, and therefore Pilate asked Jesus, Young's translation, are you a king? And Jesus said, yes, I'm a king, but I'm not a kingdom right now who's establishing his rule in the world. And then he has a very interesting phrase. I've never read or heard anybody deal with this particular phrase. I don't know why, maybe I missed it. Jesus said, I was born into the world to testify to truth. And then he said, those who live according to truth, he said, those who are of truth, they know that I am testifying to truth. And then Pilate asked a postmodern question. He said, what is truth? He had all the evidence. On three different occasions, he said, I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man. He knew on the basis of truth that Jesus was innocent, totally innocent. But still he said, what is truth? In other words, the postmodern mind says, well, truth is whatever you want it to be. You have your truth, I have my truth. Everything is subjective, everything is up for grabs. So Pilate asked, what is truth, when he knew the truth? And then Pilate walked out. He was looking at him who came to witness to the truth, follow me carefully, who embodied the truth, who spoke the truth, who brought to life ultimate objective truth, and Pilate knew that was true. And he said, what is truth? What is truth? That's where we are today in our culture, folks. Every one of our young people been to college in the last 20 years, they were trained, indoctrinated, that there's no such thing as objective truth. It's all up for grabs. And Pilate asked that postmodern question, and he answered it by giving Jesus over to be crucified, even though he knew that objectively he was totally innocent of every charge. He said, well, that was way back there in antiquity. No, that's exactly where we are today. We've been looking at the woke mindset. Let me say something as a thesis. I have looked at wokeism and all the wokies as best as I can, and I can tell you the woke philosophy ideology is totally diametrically opposed to biblical truth. You take their phrases and their terminology and you unpack it as they interpret it, and it all sounds good. Who's not for social justice? They have redefined social justice. And you can take every tenet as we're looking at it line by line, verse by verse, and you see it's the totally opposite of the biblical understanding of that sounds so right, so appropriate in our world today. And one big word that they use is the background and the cause of all of our problems. It's capitalism. Oh, yes, capitalism is a source of racism. Capitalism is a source of bigotry. Capitalism is a source of communist language, remember? The oppressed and those who are the oppressors. And the bottom behind is an economic theory of capitalism. And then we say, let's discern and look at socialism / communism. And then let's look at capitalism. How do we understand this? It's a matter of definition. It's a matter of unpacking these. Well, how do you do that? Remember I recommended you Mama Bear Apologetics, remember? I hope you've ordered that. I hope you begin to read it. It is so on target. It's amazing. And in that book, I had another understanding of discernment. Remember our big word? If you don't have discernment, you're in trouble. Discernment is knowing what is real and what is phony, knowing what is true and knowing what is false. And by the way, it's not hard to know what is true. Somebody said, well, Pastor, can you define truth? Yes, I can. Let me give you a definition. Won't be too hard for anybody. If you say what is, that it is, and you say what is not, that it is not, that's truth. And if you say what is, that it is not, and what is not, that it is, that's a lie. Truth explained with one-syllable words. Not going too fast for anybody, am I? And so we come and try to unpack truth, and a great methodology is what the phrase talks about, chew and spit. Oh, chew and spit, another way to discern something. Eating a steak. Texas is known for all in steak, right? All in beef, that's how we're known all around the world, all in beef. But when you eat steaks here in some places, not 44 Farms, not Taste of Texas, you know, but different deal. But you go to somebody's house and you eat a steak, and once in a while you run into gristle. Now you can chew it till tomorrow and it'll still be. What do we do? What do we talk in all of our highfalutin Texas etiquette? What do we do when we're chewing a steak and we're under gristle? If we are very cultured, we take our napkin, which should have been in your lap, and we very carefully take that gristle and spit it in the napkin and eat the rest of the steak. I'm not going too fast for anybody, am I? That's discernment. We take situations where we're looking for truth to live and act on it, and we run into gristle and we chew that which is good and we spit that which is not good. So I want to practice that methodology today, not doing any spitting in actuality, in reality, but let's just take the word socialism and chew on it a little bit. Now, I always have to give this disclaimer. We're not going to cover every aspect of socialism, and we're going to leave out some nuances of it. It's not good. You get that. Somebody, well, you didn't. I'm just going to give you the basic ABC stuff, okay? We'll cover everything about socialism. But what is socialism basically? Socialism basically is the state owns our property. That's socialism. State owns our property. Socialism. And the undergirding philosophy is communism. What is communism? From each according to his ability, to each according to his need. Dialectic materialism. It sounds great. It's a utopian concept. And therefore, we know that even in life, pure communism has never been successful. And in life, pure socialism over a period of time has never been successful. I'll debate anybody on this at another occasion. So, we see some illustrations in history. You remember after the Russian Revolution, they established the USSR. That stands for the Union of Soviet Socialistic Republics. They got a lot of good words in there, undercovering the word socialism. So they established a socialistic republic in Russia, and we know the catastrophic end of that. You say, well, there have been examples when that's worked. Well, let's go to Sweden. Oh, there's a wonderful country. Read the history of Sweden, ladies and gentlemen. In the 1980s, Sweden was a prosperous country, low taxes, not many people in government, minimum government amount. There was freedom. You could go there and start a business or an enterprise or a career, and you would be successful. It was a very successful country until 1980. Somebody said, well, we need to spread this out equally among everybody. And all of a sudden, they had a bigger government. All of a sudden, all these regulations came into being. And then all of a sudden, you see a flattening out of the economy, and by 1990s, Switzerland was in big trouble, and now they have slowly begun to move back into a free market, and the country has been changed. That is current history. Let's go to Venezuela. Well, there's a good example. Venezuela was one of the most prosperous countries in all of South Carolina. South Carolina, South America, same thing. All countries there. What happened to Venezuela? And you got Hugo Chavez ran for to be the leader and said, oh, we need to take all the wealth of Venezuela and just flatten it out, scatter it among all the people. And that's exactly what he did. And at first, the head of the Labor Party in Great Britain said, boy, look what Hugo Chavez is doing. That's an example for everybody. What socialism would do, you take for the rich, you get. Man, that's a beautiful example. And all the Hollywood elites who know so much about economy, they said, I want to go to Venezuela. And at first, it seemed to be prosperous. It seemed to be working. But just like Margaret Thatcher said, socialism is a wonderful thing until you run out of somebody else's money. And the big word of socialism, it's all free. You see what I'm telling you? It's free. It's free. It's free. But, you know, a rat looks at cheese in a trap, and the rat says, that cheese looks free to me. Just go get it. That's what happens to socialistic thinking. We go get something that's free, and ladies and gentlemen, there's not a thing on this earth that is free except the grace of God. So here we have all these illustrations of failure. You can go back, for example, to Israel. When they first became a nation in 1948, they set up what I call kibbutz, the kibbutzism. And they set up little communities that were purely communistic. Everybody was supposed to work. They scattered them all over Israel. Each one had a specific trade, something they made or manufactured or grew. What happened to that? Ask those who tried that experiment in Israel in the beginning days. And they say exactly, it's a paradise for parasites. A paradise for parasites. Because all of a sudden somebody said, you know, I get the same work, and I don't have to do anything. Can you beat that? And you see what happens in the wokeism that is sponsoring socialism today. Here's what they believe. You can help the poor by destroying the rich. You can strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. You can bring about prosperity by discouraging thrift. You can lift the wage earner by pulling the taxpayer and the taxpayer down. You can further have brotherhood by inviting class hatred. You can build character and courage by taking away a person's initiative. You can help people permanently by doing for them what they can do for themselves. That is woke socialism spelled out for us to see. Now, in case you are still lost and confused about socialism, what it is, let me say again, in simple terms, socialism is you have two cows, C-O-W-S, and the government takes over those two cows, and the government decides how much milk you get. That is a simple explanation of socialism today and forever. And you see how it creeps in on us? See how it creeps in on us? Our county council tried to vote a budget. Two of the members of the council, they wanted to spend a hunk of our council, of our county budget on powering more constables who would help us with this crisis we have in law and order. No, said the majority. And so they went and said, we want federal help. So we've gone to Washington to bring down federal officers who will help us restore peace and justice and some sense of fighting crime. You say, well, that's good. No, it's not. We could do it for ourselves. And this is a mark of federal control, state control, and look at any revolution you can study in all of history, they always take away the local law enforcement people and they bring in the state law enforcement people. It is another encroachment of the rights and liberty that we have. Boy, that's political. You bet your boots it's political. Because this is what we're dealing with today. More and more federal control of everything and everybody, that is socialism. So we're chewing on socialism, and I'd say you spit the whole thing out. Now, let's not be delicate. Let's chew on capitalism. What is capitalism? Capitalism is property is owned by the individual. How different. Instead of property owned by the state, it's property owned by the individual. In order to be scholarly, I want to give you a really scholarly definition of capitalism because there's a zillion definitions out there. There's been a zillion books and studies done on what it means. And evidently, those in power in the woke world, they say capitalism is a problem. Let's see what capitalism is. Let's look at the $10 definition of it. Capitalism is an economic system wherein privately owned, relatively well-organized, and stable forms pursue complex commercial activities with a relatively free, unregulated market, taking a systematic long-term approach to investing and reinvesting wealth, directly or indirectly, in productive activities involving a hired workforce and guided by anticipation of actual returns. That's a $10 definition of capitalism. But let me explain it where all of us can understand it. You own two cows, you sell one cow and buy a bull. That's capitalism. That's capitalism.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Psalm 119, verse 111. Your testimonies I've taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. What if people could see what we're thinking or what's on our hearts right now? If you're like me, you're glad that's impossible. Or is it? Years ago, there was a man in our church who served as a greeter. Now, the gentleman had a gruff and stern facial expression. His job was hard and his life circumstances were trying. Yet when he smiled and said, "Welcome," his face lit up with joy. Why? Because God and the transforming power of Christ were doing a beautiful work in his life. He loved God and other people, and his smile just radiated that fact. The psalmist says that the testimonies of God are the joy of his heart. What about you? Is your heart smiling right now? If not, let the transforming power of Christ bring a smile to your heart, and guess what? It will show up on your face. Someone needs to see that and begin to practice that with God's grace, with his power, from this day forward. Let the smile in your heart reflect the countenance, the smile on your face. You'll be amazed how it will change everybody you meet.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful book by Dr. Young. It's called Healing Broken America. In it, Dr. Young clearly defines the five areas where America has lost its way and offers some common sense, biblically based remedies for bringing our nation back from the brink. This timely resource is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Healing Broken America when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. We're glad you joined us today. Come back next week for more proven truth with Dr. Ed Young right here on The Winning Walk. Have a great weekend.